Hey everybody, this is Caddy. You're in the Year End Cafe, and today I have none other than Nick Rhodes, my very favorite dapper walking Nick Rhodes Ian person. Well, you are Nick Rhodes, so you can't be Nick Rhodes Ian. How are you?
Well, I'm actually sitting at the moment, Catherine.
Oh,
walking. If I were walking, then it would be rather difficult for you to have this chat with me, wouldn't it?
Well, we sometimes chat, but yes, a cafe is never done while you're walking. But I love having our walking chats. That's one of my favorite things, actually. I have to go for a walk today. Anyway, Nicholas, welcome to the Year End Cafe. How are you?
I am in utter disbelief that the year could possibly be coming to a conclusion so soon, Catherine.
It's fast, right? You just blink, and it was like, we just did this cafe.
But you know, what was different this year, I think, is that I always feel years disappear too quickly. And certainly as you grow a little older, time becomes more elastic. And you don't, you know, something that was maybe 3 years ago, you think it was last year. And something that was 10 years ago, you think it was 4 years ago. Yet the year you're in seems to have only been 3 months long. It's a very strange phenomenon. But this year for us, I sort of feel like we didn't do anything because we just kept moving all the time on one hand. And then on the other hand, we probably did more this year than we have in any other year for a very long time.
Let's start off, Nicholas, with event of the year. What was your non-Duran Duran related event of 2023?
Well, I'm afraid the world is in a rather horrible state at the moment. So the bigger events were rather depressing and I don't think something that we want to talk about right now, but I certainly hope the world gets better and that warfare in particular ceases as soon as possible, because just like most artists and musicians, I'm a pacifist. I only believe in peace. So it's been rather sad, to say the least, to watch those events unfold. However, technology, I think, is the thing that sticks with me. I don't know that it's an event. ChatGPT launched apparently in November 2022. So technically it was last year, but I think everybody really discovered it this year. And that, along with a lot of other AI, I think is a really fascinating development. I've talked about AI quite a lot this year, actually, and I know some people are very nervous about it and feel that it's the world going in the wrong direction. I'm not as nervous about it. Certainly, it would be terrible if it were ever to be weaponized. And I think everybody in every country needs to make sure that that doesn't happen. But as a tool for the medical world, for example, I think it is quite extraordinary, the options that it's opening up that were never there before. And as a creative tool, I actually think it's rather interesting too. I know there's a lot of people worried that it's going to be able to write songs and write movies and do all of these things. I'm sure that somebody will create good things with AI, but for me, there's always a good human story to be told, whether it's in a song or a poem or a book or a movie or a painting. So I think it's all about ideas and how you use AI. But I've enjoyed it this year. We made the video for Dance Macabre with using AI animation program, and it was absolute pure joy, because you can just type in whatever's in your imagination and watch it come to life. Incredible. So I think that's been one of the more interesting things this year. And I also, I think SpaceX are making giant leaps for mankind with their program. And it was good to see, even though the latest rocket exploded, that another one got a little bit further this time, because I would love to see man on the moon again, and certainly on Mars, and for space travel to become something more democratic.
Going back to AI, though, what was all the rage like 2 years ago? Not Bitcoin, but
crypto stuff is still a big part of what's going on. And I'm guessing what will happen is that the banks will and the other markets will actually have to embrace crypto a lot more.
You don't think it's failed at all, crypto?
I'm not really in that world at all, so I'm not qualified to have a reasonable opinion about it. NFTs, I think, has been interesting to watch, because I didn't quite understand why they were achieving such extraordinary prices early on. But equally, I thought it was interesting. And I still think it's an interesting format for artists if you can take out the sort of rather foolish money side of it.
Mm. Yeah, NFTs and Bitcoin, just so much going on, so much to keep up with. Well, that was very cool, Nicholas. I like that answer. What was your favorite movie and or television show of 20 that you've seen in 2020 that you saw in 2023? It doesn't have to have come out in 2023, just that you've seen it.
Well, the way that movies usually work for me, especially since I've been traveling most of the year, is that I tend to start watching them around now,
right?
And I finish watching them before we have our Oscar chat. In February. So I've got a huge long list of things that I'm excited to see, like Oppenheimer, I still haven't seen, and Killers of the Flower Moon, I haven't seen, Maestro, Anatomy of Fall, I'm looking forward to, the Todd Haynes movie, May, December, I hear is great. So there's so many, and then there's a couple of Korean movies that look amazing. So I will see them all over the next sort of 6 weeks. Ironically, when we were on tour, I made the decision to go and see one movie. And it was just playing at the right time, I guess, is my excuse. And I like pink. So I went to see Barbie. I mean, it had its merits, I suppose. I thought the performances were good, and I loved the style of it. Very clever. Not sure that that much plastic does much for our planet. And I'm certainly far from sure that Barbie is a feminist heroine. I don't really buy into that one. I think it was rather more of a cynical marketing play to sell lots more Barbies. And a very clever one. I take my hat off to those people at Mattel for their ingenuity. However, overall, I thought the script was at best slightly annoying. But I haven't really seen all the movies I want to see. So I'm not equipped to answer this. What I would say that I think only came out this year, early this year, is one of the movies that stuck with me. We talked about in our last Oscar chat was The Quiet Girl, the Irish movie. And it really it stuck with me throughout the year, actually. I don't know what it was specifically, other than it's a great movie and a very wonderful human story. But yeah, that one, if you haven't seen it, watch it.
That's so interesting that you say that, because I had a Instagram memory and that film came up and I thought, my God, that was my memory, I guess. How I love that movie and how I cried at that movie. That was a beaut. I hope we get another film like that to watch this Oscar season. But I digress. Any television series did you watch this year? The Crown.
I saw The Crown. I have to say, first two series for me were spectacular. And then I think the material hasn't been as easy to deal with. Incredible writing. And I think they handle some of the subjects quite sensitively, others less so. But yeah, I enjoyed it. Look, it's fun to watch. What else did I see? Lots of things. Just trying to think. What I'm watching at the moment, actually, I've finally taken on Downton Abbey.
Oh, you'd never seen it?
No, I'd been putting it off because there was so many of them in the end by the time I thought I should be watching it. It hasn't disappointed me yet. Again, it's great to just see fabulous actors and actresses really performing beautifully written scripts. That's what I miss most of all in a lot of the movies now, because that Hollywood thing, you know, I'm not big on Hollywood movies generally, particularly action movies and stuff like that. It's just special effects is an excuse to not have a proper script. So watching things like, well, The Crown is beautifully written and Downton Abbey is extraordinary. The amount of times I've literally laughed out loud at Maggie Smith. She's just so spectacularly good. It just, yes, it it's a joy, a pleasure, amazing, loving it.
Ages ago, John said to me, I'm watching Downton Abbey. And I said, what's that? And he said, I think it's on PBS channels. He said, you should tell Lois to watch it. And I did, and she loved it. So that's sweet that you're watching it now.
No, it's been a long, long time that I've been waiting to watch this one. So a few of them, I've seen.
Yeah.
The Sopranos, I've got to get my head around one day. I've seen some of them, but that's
The Sopranos, did you just say?
Yeah, I want to see that from start to finish because I've just seen odd ones. So, yeah, there's plenty of those series out there. But I've seen other things this year. I'm just trying to think what.
Do you know who's in The Sopranos? In the last season of The Sopranos.
No clue.
My brother-in-law, Brian's brother.
Oh, there you go. I should look out for him on the credits. Will he be credited as Brian's brother?
No, but he will be credited. He's one of Tony's guys, and he has a very big part in the second to last episode of the series. Wow. The Sopranos was so hard for me to watch. It gave me so much anxiety. It was wonderful.
Well, those things that go over where you get used to the characters. Look, there's lots of other things, more modern things that I've loved. I'm very much looking forward to the next series of Wednesday, which I think is coming sometime soon. What else is coming? There's some new Black Mirrors coming, I hope.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Black Mirror. Were those this year or last year? I can't remember.
I think it was this year. Did you see the one... Those. With the girl, the woman from Schitt's Creek, what was it called? Something About Annie, where her whole life is on television.
Yeah. Well, I've seen all of them. I actually have seen every single episode of that. And I love the ideas in there. Again, great writing.
Again, yeah, so incredible. All right, you and I could talk about stuff like this all day long. So I'm going to move on and ask, just specific to you, Nicholas, what was the best exhibit or museum you visited in or saw in 2023?
Wow. Well, a lot of them.
I figured.
I traveled a lot. And so whenever I travel, I do try to find a little space to jump into a museum here and there. And I saw a few museums on this trip that I have actually never made it to before. Particularly in Minneapolis. I love the museums there. I'd always known that there were two great ones and I made it to both. So that was fun. But shows, there were some amazing ones this year. Right at the beginning of the year, I went over to Paris to the Louis Vuitton Foundation to see the Andy Warhol, Jean-Michel Basquiat collaboration show. which was quite spectacular. Loved it. It was great seeing all those pieces together, because I remember seeing them very early on with Andy and Jean-Michel, actually, when they were first doing them in 1984, I think. So suddenly seeing them all together and put together with the ones they also did with Francesco Clemente and the show, the building is incredible. The architecture, really, really something. So that was a nice way to start the year. And then I've seen so many things. I saw the Christian Marclay show when I was there too, at the Pompidou. He's a great British artist who has a wonderful relationship with music. And so his show at the Pompidou was centered around his work with music, album covers that he's reimagined or used as part of his artwork, and instruments that can't be played. And of course, the incredible films that he creates, which are masterfully edited. And so that was fun to see. I saw Cecily Brown's show at the Metropolitan Museum in New York, which I thought was really beautiful too. Quite small, but perfectly formed. I saw Keith Haring at the Broad Museum in Los Angeles, which I really can't quite understand why it's called the Broad. But in fairness, that is what everybody calls it. And as it's the gentleman's name, I guess if that's what he would like it to be called, that's fair enough. But for me, B-R-O-A-D spells Broad. And so the Broad or Broad Museum, the Keith Haring retrospective was fun to see. Especially loved the last room with the Statue of Liberty and all the extraordinary bright colors that Keith favored. That was fun. And there's so many. More recently, actually, I saw some shows in London at the Tate. I saw Tate Britain Women in Revolt, which I believe is still on. That is a miraculous achievement. It's about the rise of feminists and the way that women were treated through the ages, particularly focusing more on the 60s, 70s, into the 80s. And some of it is pretty horrifying to see how bad things were not that long ago. But then you see the progress and you see women's voices coming through, and it's really special, actually. So I spent hours and hours in there reading everything. That was good. There's a lot of great shows on here. What else was really amazing? I tell you what I enjoyed was the Gucci show here, Gucci Universe, which is on at 180 Strand. That's more modern. I think Ez Devlin designed it for them. And each room is an experience. So that was a lot of fun to see. I went to see Rubens Women, the Dulwich Art Museum, which is also rather special. You forget that people could paint like that. Quite controversial, some of them, actually. I've never seen some of these particular pieces in person. It's always different than when you're looking at paintings in books, and then you actually see them and understand the scale. And for years and years before I saw the Mona Lisa in person, the painting, that is, I, for some reason, had imagined that it was much bigger.
Yeah, it's not big.
It's really not very big at all. And when I finally was looking for it in the Louvre many, many, many years ago, and I found it because there was so many tourists in front of it with cameras, I couldn't believe the scale. So, yeah, it's a strange thing that that does. But the Rubens were a bit like that. But it's so many great things on in London. It's really been a fantastic period for shows.
Every time you go to something, I tell my sister, because she's the cultural Krasner. as you well know, I am not. So she's always very interested in the stuff you see. Didn't you see, so you saw something with Jeffrey in Brooklyn, but I don't know if that was 2022 or 2023.
Oh, yeah, we went to see the Terry Mugler retrospective, which was also magnificent. I can't remember which year it was. You see, it all blurs. It could have been, when did we first come to New York? Well, perhaps it was the beginning of this year, because I think we went after we'd played New Year in New York.
Oh, right. And I think my sister saw it shortly after you did, or shortly before you did. Maybe after you did, she saw it.
Yeah, well, that was really great too. It was in Brooklyn. And and Terry Mugler is one of the great architects of fashion throughout the late 60s through the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s. Sad that we lost him a few years ago. A fantastic, unusual, unique voice. And boy, did he know how to cut clothing.
So I'll roll right into from your exhibits, because I know a lot of your books, your favorite books, are based on art as well. What were the best books and or podcasts of 2023? I'm not sure you're a podcast guy, but thought I'd throw it in there.
It's not that I'm against any kind of podcasts. I love the idea of it sort of replacing some radio, especially when it's commercial free. I don't really listen to podcasts much. Books, on the other hand, yes, especially photographic books, as you quite rightly point out, Catherine. There's a load of great ones this year. There was one by someone called Albaran Cabrera. It's called Photographic Syntax. I don't know whether that came out the end of last year, beginning of this year. But it's a really beautiful book. It's got such an unusual eye. And I can be happy with books if the printing quality is particularly fine, or the paper, or they've used metallic inks in the right way. And this book sort of ticks all of those boxes. It's mostly nature scenes, but very unusual depictions, and the sense of color is particularly good. I like that one, and I like one by Miho Kajioka. It's called Memories of Future.
Okay.
And that's actually more of a portfolio. They're collotype prints, which is a very specific print process, which barely exists in the world now. Apparently, there is one place in Japan that you can go to make these prints, because it's quite complicated. And several books have come out of there, this being one of them. She has a very delicate style, something that I would only imagine would come out of the Asian continent. Really exquisite, fine, beautiful, light, again, unlike anything else. That's what often draws me to these things. She's really developed her own style, which is difficult nowadays, because so many things have been done already. It's hard to carve out your own space. And this photographer, Miho Kajioka, has done that. Lovely.
I feel like you've mentioned her name before. Is it a her or him? Sorry.
I think it's a her, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure I probably have, because I have several of the earlier books that are all exquisitely done. But it's just nice to see something of that quality and delicacy when everybody in the world seems to be trying to smash things up. It's nice to have something precious.
You always recommend the best books for people who are into art. And although I can't share that love for you. What I can share is music. And I know you listen to Whoosh, which Simon and I host on SiriusXM. But and also your own, you know, you got your own thing going on. So what's some of the best music you've heard in 2023?
Well, funny enough, I don't think I've explored far enough. Yes, I have certainly heard some whooshing going on. And there are some tracks that I suspect that you and Simon have played on there that I liked. I think the pop song of the year, without any doubt, was the Miley Cyrus song, Flowers.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah, me too. It's a perfect pop song. And hence its absolute massive success. It really was that good. It's not very often that songs like that come along, and it's very easy for some people to be more snobby about them and say, oh, it's too commercial. No, those are the hardest songs to write. And I think that one is actually a masterpiece. So I tip my hat to Miley and her collaborators. Really, really great. I can't remember the last time one of them came along. What was it? That year we had Get Lucky. That was one of the last ones that was really on that level. And Uptown Funk. It was one of those songs. So that's the one that really sticks with me. But, you know, there's been lots of things. I like the Serotones, Fear, a song called Fear. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really reminded me of early Blondie and girl groups, which I've always loved, you know, the Ronettes and the Shangri-Las, things like that. Mm-hmm. But modern too. And it's really got a cool sound to it. And now when everything sort of sounds the same to me in a lot of ways, if I ever turn on a commercial radio, it's great to hear things like that with artists that have got their own voice. So yeah, I like that. And I liked the Gabriels song, Offering. I think that I've liked them for a while. I love that sort of Motown vibe that they have. Again, it harks back to a different sound and a different era, but sort of sounds surprisingly different and modern when you juxtapose it against a lot of the other things out there. So, yeah, love that one too.
They opened for Harry Styles on some dates and I didn't get to see them. Yeah, but they're a terrific band. And anytime Simon's played them on Whoosh, and anytime he does, they always write us a little note through Instagram thanking us. And I'm like, you don't really have to do that anymore. So nice people.
Really talented.
Yes. What? Are you done with your? I think you're done with your favorite songs.
Yeah, I think so.
What was your favorite Duran Duran moment of 2023? And there are many, many to choose from.
Favorite Duran Duran moment? Oh goodness, there really are too many. It would have to be the Halloween album. The fact that we managed to put out a record within such a short space of time, that we completed it within about 3 to 4 months, that Simon actually wrote 3 lyrics in a short period of time, and that we got all the artwork done, and that we made a video, or actually 2 videos now. It makes me very happy. I feel often that our output is far too slow. And that is not something I feel I can take personal responsibility for. However, whatever the reasons, it was thrilling to get a project from conception to release in less than 12 months. So yes, Dance Macabre is a triumph.
It is.
And it was so much fun to make. And when we did the video, the one with Jonas Ekelund that just came out a few weeks ago for Black Moonlight, that was the most fun we've had on a video set in years. We laugh so much, and Jonas is so great at making things look incredible. He really captured something that, you know, you would never have thought about making a video of a séance. We've been making them for 40 something years, but to do that one now, why isn't every video like this?
What was in your blood? The blood you drank, was that
It tasted disgusting.
What was it?
You can't actually swallow it. You just put it in your mouth. I don't know. Some vile.
Like cornstarch and.
I don't know. Awful, awful stuff. Yeah. I wouldn't recommend that at home at all.
No, it really looked like you guys are having fun on the video. That's what I like best about it. And you're sort of all your theatrical chops. Even old Raj got into the act a little bit. It was so cute. I mean, not cute, but. Yeah, it was fun. It was great. So that was so you would say the whole Danse Macabre project was your favorite Duran moment.
Well, that and the entire tour, yes. Look, the tour was undoubtedly, for us, we all agree, the best we've done probably since 1984. So how extraordinary is it to be almost 40 years later from that, and having something that was as successful musically, visually, and certainly with the audiences that came to see us. So that, again, was just the most amazing time for all of us. I'm really, really pleased that we managed to get through it all without having to even cancel a show anywhere. With all the different things that were out there and happening, and the constant COVID risk out there, it was great to just get through it and make sure that every show is as good as we could make them. There's so many shows I loved on the tour that it seems unfair to mention them because we all have different favorites. But yeah, there was a lot of them. Pittsburgh stuck in my head, actually. And where we played there for a while, but I loved that one. And New York, the one at Forest Hills, I loved that. It's such a great arena, being outdoors like that. We hadn't played there before. Oh, so many, really, all over. The UK tour was as good as any we've ever done. And the tour.
Very great. What do we have to look forward to from Duran Duran or from you? What are you most looking forward to in 2024, Nicholas?
Sleeping.
Well, not happening. You and me both.
2024, lots of things. We've already got a few shows that are starting to get announced. Obviously, the one at the Rose Bowl. That was just recently announced. We want to play some more shows. It won't be a touring year like last year, but we'd like to do some in Europe, as we feel we didn't get much opportunity last year, other than the UK. What else are we going to do? We're going to start work on Reportage, which I think will be fun. We all got into the studio a few weeks ago and had a listen and decided it's about time we finished it. See, that one, unlike this album that only took 3 months, 4 months, that one has been sitting there since 2005 or something. So
easily.
Yeah, so that's about time to get that done. And actually, it's held up very well. We're not going to change it a lot. I want to keep it as a time capsule of what it was. Obviously, we need to finish the tracks, so a few bits of lyrics, and I need to do a few things, but it's not in bad shape. So I'm looking forward to putting that out at some point, when I don't know. I'm putting together a photo book that I did an exhibition of in Ibiza Was that earlier this year or was that last year?
Last year. That was last year.
That's got to have been last year. So I'm putting together that book at the moment, working again with Rory McCartney, who did our album covers, our last couple of album covers, and also my last book. So that has been going on for the last few weeks too. What else is happening next year? I'd love to get some work done on my Japanese photo documentary, actually.
I was going to bring that up to you.
I know it's been languishing, unfortunately, which makes me sad because I'd love to get that finished. And I don't know. I look forward to surprises more than anything else. We'll see. You never know in the world of Duran Duran.
That's true. I'm thinking. I had asked Roger a question that I'm going to pose to you. And do you think now that the music industry has changed a little bit, now that you're working on some music that you've sort of rediscovered and will resurrect, would you put things out more as singles, or you still want to put things out as a full album?
Well, I like full albums because I think that that's the most complete listening experience for rock and pop music. It just feels more substantial. It's like having a movie instead of a trailer. It's fine, but singles for us, you know, it's a different thing. We don't really have anybody who is able to work our songs at radio, which is unfortunate, but radio before earlier on was a pivotal in our careers. Now we just put out records and we know that they won't ever get attention, which is a shame. But at the same time, the reason you make music is to put it out because you're proud of what you've done and to try to communicate with people. So we rely on online and on our audience and everything. And we've seen that that's worked. It was fun playing the track Dance Macabre, which, of course, no one had heard unless they'd heard it online. We played that in the last few shows in America. And it was great to see how many people knew it already.
Yeah.
So it's people find stuff. I mean, particularly our audience who are so ridiculously, fabulously loyal. They do tend to search for things. But yeah.
Well, you know what? I've heard that you guys have really top-notch social media. And that might be where
why that is, Catherine.
I don't know, but I think that your engagement with your fans is really great, and they come looking and they find. As a matter of fact, just last week, you released the Making of Dance Macabre EPK on YouTube, and fans are super excited about it. That's one thing about you guys: you always innovate. You never stop. You never stop. I'm your friend, but as a fan, it must be so thrilling to be a fan of Duran Duran, which I am as well. But I'm just saying, there's always something to look forward to with Duran Duran, and that's so nice.
Well, it's great for us to keep things moving. I think that's what keeps us all interested in it. A lot of bands have taken a few years out, a year out, a couple of years out, somewhere along the line. And during that time, they seem to have lost their compass.
Yeah.
So when they come back, it just doesn't work anymore. I think the fact that we've kept moving through things has helped enormously to shape what we are.
Mm-hmm. So interesting, though. It really is. It's real. I don't know. You guys, you're good at what you do, I have to say. Well, Nicholas, we've come to the end of our year-end cafe somewhat unbelievably. And I think you and I will be back in the cafe in February or March for our Oscars. So you and I will probably be in close contact for the next month or two, telling each other what we've seen. And fans can look forward to that. See our Oscar podcast.
I did see Napoleon, actually. I didn't mention that, but
oh,
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot you saw that.
Well, it's really, you know, an extraordinary epic movie and made by one of the great masters, Ridley Scott. Acting is Joaquin Phoenix is, of course, as good as ever. I mean, it's maybe one too many battle scenes for me, but it was interesting. I learned a few things I didn't know about Napoleon and certainly about Josephine.
Tanner really wants to see that. He can see that, right?
Of course.
Yeah, he loves history. He really would like to see that.
Well, there's a lot of blood. There's a lot of dead horses. I cared about the horses, but there you go.
Oh, no, I don't mean he doesn't care. Not doesn't care about that, just the blood he can handle. Yeah, yeah. All right, well, I'm going to look forward to seeing that then. And you have to see May December, which I loved and I think you'll love. And I guess on behalf of the entire VIP community, which grows every year, which is also really nice, not just in tour years, we want to wish you a very, very happy holiday, Merry Christmas, lovely New Year, good health, peace, prosperity, and all that jazz.
All that jazz from me, for sure. And I guess Simon will have to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, won't he?
Oh, he already did. He already did. Thank you for joining us in the cafe, Nicholas. We will
My pleasure.
See you soon.
Happy everything. See you on the other side.